Happy Saturday. Welcome to the Home Improvement Show. I'm Joanne Brackus, and sitting right in front of me is the man himself, Walter Assey, president of Vernofco, who will be taking your questions, answering your calls and your text messages, 514-790-0800. The phone lines are open, and so are the text lines. If you are texting, please be sure to include your name so we know who we're talking to. Hello, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You look rested. There are some weeks, you always look great, but there are some weeks you come in here when there's some kind of a weather event and you've been up for, you know, 70 million hours. You look refreshed, rested.
I do. I finally slept yesterday.
For the first time in months. We are going to take the calls, but I do want to talk to you about the fact that the temperatures are dropping. We're looking at, by the way, just so you know, tomorrow, Walter, the low here in Montreal will be -4. Which means our heating bills are going to go up. We're going to be spending a lot more on hydro. I wondered if we can touch upon like some tips and tricks on what to do. I remember in my like student days, remember putting that like what is it over the windows? That like plastic?
Yeah, it's like plastic sheeting to avoid draft.
What's the number one tip on saving on an energy bill at this time of year?
So what I would do first and foremost is see on the Hydro-Québec website what's available. What are they offering? In a lot of cases, they offer subventions on certain things. For example, the HelioSmart thermostat. So they are subsidizing part of the cost. And that is a smart thermostat that you can control from anywhere. Where, let's say, you're leaving the house and you forgot to turn it off, or it's programmable by which, you know, you could set it at 17 at night and 20 during the day.
17 at night and 20. You know how
if
many?
If you want to save money.
Because I was going to say, how many couples argue about it's too hot and too cold? So you're saying, for the record, 17 at night.
And 20 during the day. Now, another trick would be if we have a very cold day, so let's say it's -30 or -25.
Stay under the blankets and stay in bed?
Pretty much, yeah. If you bring down the temperature a couple of degrees, a degree or two, there's something called dynamic savings with Hydro-Québec that will kick in, and then you will save, that's the most money you will save out of your consumption. As a matter of fact, 61% of your energy bills on average goes for heating the house.
Well, we live in the Great White North and our winter is, I have to get myself used to it. I was living, as you know, away for 4 years.
Yes.
In a very hot and sunny country.
Is that your first winter?
Back, yeah.
Oh,
it's
going to
be my first Canadian winter in 4 years.
Wow. Okay.
I'm preparing myself for some shock value. But I was born here, so I'm fine with it. I'm telling, I repeat, I am fine. I'm trying to convince myself I'm fine. But in terms of what we can do for the house, physically for the house.
So inside the house, there's a lot of things that we could do ourselves that have nothing to do with hydro. Like we're talking about the caulking of the windows, eliminating any drafts that we see from the outside. Like we just go around the house and we look. And, you know, on an average, you'll find 2-3 spots that, you know, where they pass the cable wire or an internet thing.
I didn't even think about that.
That they don't, you know, foam properly or repointing that needs to be addressed. Things of that nature from the outside. As far as the inside, obviously, the attic is a big place. The attic and the rim joists are always underestimated.
So what are you doing? You're just keeping that door closed?
So the rim joists from the basement, especially if you don't have a finished basement, that is really a big part of where you would lose your energy. So insulating the rim joists, urethaning them preferably, will save you a tremendous amount of money. Insulating your attic is another one.
Is that expensive?
Insulating your attic, if you're adding, it shouldn't be that expensive because you already have some type of infrastructure. You have already some foundation of insulation. You're just adding to it in order to get more R value. If you have fans, that will work. So if you have them turning clockwise, then that will push, that will kind of mix the cold air and the hot air and will push the hot air down, so now it's more even in the
room. Fans in the attic?
No, fans in the home.
In the home, okay.
Yeah, because being it away from the ceiling. Don't underestimate the power of curtains. Because during the day you want to open them because you want to allow natural light in, and the sun is hot, so that will save you money on energy. And at night you want to close them because you don't want the cold to escape through the windows, because the weakest point in your home is usually the windows.
And what kind of windows should we be having?
I mean, you want to have Energy Star, anything you buy, even like heat pumps, windows. So you want to have it Energy Star rated. So double glazed, triple glazed in certain cases. And that will save you a good amount of money, a low argon as well. And you know, take a look at, sometimes we say we need to change the windows, but we can't afford to do it all. Well, take a look strategically at the worst windows and at least change these. So if you have a window that's fogging up in the winter and you can literally touch the frost, I mean, yes, you think you're saving money by not changing it, but you're actually wasting money because this is like a highway out the window of money that you're just throwing out. So these are more things that I would think about strategically, and they will change them. And the other aspect of it is, where is the wind tunnel in your home? Meaning, if you have an area which is more drafty, where you see that the wind is stronger, then that usually is where you want to start with changing windows. So let's say you can't afford to do them all. Well, at least, okay, look at the elevation that is the worst. That's the worst usually hit in the winter, and that's where you will start.
Question. I know, because we had to change windows in one of our houses years ago, and it was quite expensive. What is the, on average, what are we looking at per?
I mean, there's different qualities of windows. Obviously, you know, manufacturers vary. Depending on the size of the window, that's a big factor. And what are the bells and the whistles in the window? So there are manufacturers that promote robotic welding, which is, I'm a big fan of, because, you know, anything that is manual assembly is prone to a lot of human errors. That's where you have a lot of cracks and crevices and you know, weaknesses in the frames themselves. The thickness of the frame makes a big difference. The type of, are we having low E argon, no low E argon, things of that nature, the type. So there are different types or materials that you could use.
But it can be very expensive.
It can go very expensive. Yeah. You can go to the high end. I mean, if you're going, the most expensive obviously would be the wood windows, but that's more cosmetic than anything. I'm a big fan of hybrids because it's two different materials that are married together, so it doesn't conduct the heat easily. Whereas, you know, if you have just aluminum or you just have PVC, it's still good, but it's not as good as a hybrid type window.
There's a question here about somebody wanting to begin a winterizing of a cottage or a cabin. Mm-hmm. That's a whole process. Like, if it's a summer cottage or like a spring cottage, essentially, to start that process is, what's the best place to start, I guess?
I mean, water. So, I mean, obviously, you don't want any pipes to freeze.
No.
So you want to flush all the toilets. You want to put antifreeze in the toilet bowls. You want to make sure that, you know, everything is nicely boarded up. So, I mean, it is the same concept as far as securing it, but where I worry the most in a winterizing of a summer cottage would be actually the water component, because that could create damage without.
So wait, before you go, you're putting antifreeze in the toilets?
In the toilet bowl, yeah, okay. Because you don't want the water there to freeze and then cracks your toilet and then creates a thing. So you want to also shut off the main valve, flush, take out all the garden hoses from the outside,
okay,
and disconnect them. Make sure that you open all the faucets just to make sure that anything that's left over in the pipe is also evacuated.
So garden hoses inside, antifreeze in the toilet bowls, and the hoses?
Well, you disconnect the hoses from the faucet, because typically when you close, when you shut off the water from the hose still have water in it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So it does back up, and then that could also freeze back that back up, and whatever is left over in the pipe could create your water damage as well.
Okay, very good. 514-790-0800. Start calling for your questions for Walter Assey, and there's many text messages coming in. We'll get to them in just a bit. Walter Assey is standing by, president of Renovco, to answer all of your home renovation questions. 514-790-0800. Give us a call. Let Walter know what is on your mind, renovation-wise, that is. We have a text message here. I didn't get a name, but that's okay. Excuse me. It says, can you talk a little bit about generators? I got a quick quote for one, but it's very expensive. The Generac with a K brand. Is it better to get a portable one, which you have to manage yourself, or the company provides a service, but then you have an ongoing cost? Are they reliable machines without being dangerous if managed on our own? And is it worth the cost? We seem to have more and more outages in Pointe Claire, where we had a lot of condos being built. Any suggestions on what to do? First of all, is it worth the price? Should you be taking care of it by yourself? Should you be using the company? What do you think?
So there's many moving parts to this question. Number one would be, if you are... if you're home most of the time, a portable generator can do the job, but it comes with a lot of question marks. When you have a portable generator, it works on gasoline. When you don't have electricity, if it's a major power outage, well, most gas stations are not going to have power too. So it's a question of how long you want to line up to the open gas stations to get gas for it every time. Plus the babysitting aspect. So every time the power is out, you have to be home. You have to take it out. You have to start it. And then you have to turn it off, obviously, when the electricity comes back. So let's say you're, you know, out of the country and you have a sump pump and you're worried about it and you're on vacation and then the power is out for a couple of days. Well, you don't, it's not going to magically bring itself out and start itself and so on and so forth.
So it's a bit useless then, because you have to be home.
It's useless if you're home. It's not useless. It will save you money. It's a lot cheaper for sure. But again, it comes with a lot of babysitting, right?
Well, so it's not a self-starter though.
Not a self-starter, no. So the Generac or the Color, whatever you, I mean, there's other brands as well. They automatically kick in. So they have, it's called, you have them hooked into a generator panel, and as soon as the power is out, it kicks in automatically with minimal babysitting from your end. The annual maintenance is not that expensive, and you can always connect them to a different source of energy, like propane tank, or if you have natural gas in your area, you can have an infinite supply of energy, so you don't have to worry about running to gas stations, finding open gas stations, and so on.
So fundamentally, it's a little bit more, it's more expensive, but it actually is going to do what it's meant to do.
It's exactly, and in most cases, it will have the capacity to light up a lot from your home. So like you will be very, you'll have very minimal
loss of power
disturbances in your home, because in most cases power the freezer, the fridge, not just the pumps and the very necessary things.
Raj is on the line. Raj has a question about water going from the main floor, I think, to the basement. Raj, can you hear us?
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Take it away, Raj.
Okay. I have a problem. Like when I take shower, the water takes too long to go down the drain.
Okay. So you're asking me why?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, so a couple of tricks. Either you could rent a fish if you don't own one and try to fish the drain yourself. Or you can bring in a plumber and they can just pass a fish through. What I would advise you against doing is use these types of chemicals like drain unblockers, which a lot of people use, because that corrode the pipe. And you know, if you use it a lot, you're gonna be really inflicting damage on your plumbing drains. But in most cases, your issue is related to a partial blockage somewhere in your drain.
Okay. But I'm thinking too, probably like it doesn't have the air drain. I'm thinking like run a pipe from up downstairs, come to the second floor, and then in my kitchen, I run out overhead through the ceiling and bore the hole and put a pipe there to get the air.
So that's an air vent for the plumbing pipes. What makes you think that's the case? Because that usually is more gurgling noise than blockage issue.
Okay.
So if you're not having that gurgling noise, chances are it's not the issue.
Yeah, I'm having that gurgling noise.
Can you repeat that?
Raj.
The noise, like when the water going down, it bubble up, like making a noise.
Yeah. So that could be an air vent issue, you're right. In this case, you want to see, has it always been like that, or that just started recently?
Well, I bought the house 5 years ago, and I do the plumbing, but I don't know what the guy did or what he don't do, you know, because I wasn't there, you know.
But has it been doing this for 5 years, or that's recent?
Yes, he do it for quite a while.
Okay. So, I mean, look, there's different ways of doing this. If the getting the air vents through the roof is a major project that is very prohibitive for you for XYZ reasons, you could always go with an automatic valve that is buried in the wall. Not the greatest, but it will work for a while. So you can get a few years service out of it. So ask your plumber about it. It's much cheaper and a lot less intrusive. The only problem with it doesn't last forever. So that might be another option for you to explore.
Okay, but when you run the, let's say I put the pipe when it comes through and it goes to the air, at the end, can I put a blockage like non-board or anything can go through the pipe, right? Like a mesh?
You mean the plumbing vent?
Yes.
Through the roof?
Yeah.
You can put a vent, but you don't need to because technically it's a drain, right? So the water drains through it. So you don't need to, but you can if you feel like you need to.
Yeah, okay then. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Raj. Thank you for calling. Reminder to reach Walter from Renovco, president of Renovco, 514-790-0800. Start calling. Send us your questions as well on our text line. Of course, we will be taking them, and Walter will do his very best to answer all of them. Having a grand old time here with Walter Assey, president of Renovco. I'm actually on your website right now, by the way, Walter Assey, renovco.com, and looking at something called the Mansion Project, and it's very fascinating. If you have a moment after the show, head on over there to check it out. We have a call coming in right now, and her name is Yana. Yana, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Good morning.
Yana, you know that my name in Greek is also Yana. I'm a Joanne.
Oh, really?
But yes. I'm a Yana as well. So
yes, I'm Czech. I have very nice Greek friends.
All right, yes. Yana, you also have mold in your closet.
Yes. It's a little bit bizarre. Can I go?
Of course. Go ahead, Yana.
Okay, thank you. So my house is built 1957. I never had the house inspection, but I know there is a high all summer. But it's not about the basement. It's about the space, the living space, the living room. I have noticed when I open the closet door, the clothes that I don't use, and especially the leather clothes, are absolutely full of white spots, covered with white spots. I don't care about the clothes. I can get a new one. But am I breathing a spores of mold that I don't know about? What to do about it? And does it make any sense to you?
Okay, yeah, I think the question is, what is the white spots? Is that mold?
Spots on the clothes and a lot of it, it's clothes that I do not use are absolutely covered with white spots.
Okay, that's probably mold. You're right. My question to you is, how old is your home?
Pardon me?
What year construction is the house?
1957.
Okay. So 1957, and in the winter. When you open that closet, do you feel a draft?
No.
There's no draft. Okay. So here's a couple of reasons why that could be happening. Number one, the number one thing you could do right away is as much as you can declutter that closet.
Sorry, can you say it again? I have a little bit hard time. Can you say it again,
yes,
please?
So one of the things you could do right away is declutter the closet. So what you want is you want air circulation on all the walls.
Yes, it's full of clothes. Yes, okay, yeah. Declutter.
So if you don't have air circulation around, especially in between the wall and whatever you have as, you know, like if you have clothes or just stuff, that will naturally just create mold for lack of air circulation. Okay.
That makes perfect sense to me. Please go ahead. Yes.
I only say things that make sense. That's what they pay me for.
Yes,
I'm not allowed to say any nonsense. Joanne tells me that all the time.
I'll kick him under the table.
Or I should call her Yana.
Yeah, there you go, Yana. Okay, yeah. So we're decluttering.
So decluttering. That's number one. Number two, 1957, specially unrenovated homes do not have a vapor barrier. So you had that old, probably that old insulation, the fiberglass insulation was a paper backing.
Yes.
So you most likely would have some type of a draft that will create condensation, specifically in the winter. So one of the ways you, if you don't want to undertake a big renovation, well, not big, but a very intrusive, I should say, renovation project, is to change the doors to louver doors.
So pardon me, change the
doors to louver doors. You know those doors that have openings in them?
That's what I have.
That's very good. That's very good. So start by decluttering, and the fact that you have those louver doors should take care of the problem.
Should I put it a little open, maybe, the door?
You could. That will help. The more air circulation and the more, heat comes into the closet, especially in the winter. You don't want to have it in the summer, but in the winter, that will help tremendously decrease the amount of condensation you have. Because usually, typically, closets are colder than the rooms because they don't have vents in them or electric baseboards or anything.
Would it make any difference that this closet is close to the bathroom where I do not have a fan? And maybe when I am I'm taking long bath, there is humidity coming to the closet. I don't know if it makes any sense.
Only if there's any holes or any crevices that the humidity can seep
through.
No,
there are not.
Yeah, but I mean, again, just to kind of not to over confuse you, but
exactly.
The fact of the matter is, if you are taking long showers and you don't have a fan in your bathroom, you are creating mold spores just from the high relative humidity that is caused. So anytime our relative humidity is going above 60%, just the air particles will start creating those mold spores.
But so the thing is, in the winter, actually, it's very dry. It's 30. I have to use a humidifier for the living room because the basement is humid and the upstairs is very dry.
Yes.
Only during the winter. Very, very dry.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, in the winter, the humidity is not the factor. It's mostly in the summer we worry about excess humidity. You're right. Look, as far as the bathroom is concerned, just for a good lifestyle habit, and expose the condensation on the walls is gonna rot the material. It's gonna create surface mold. So even in the winter, because the bathroom is such a small area, the door is closed.
It's all tiles, so I don't see any problem there. You know, it's all tiles, the bathroom.
How about the ceiling? Is that tiles as well?
No, it's not.
Yeah, there you go. And then you have the silicone around that will start creating mold with time. So the caulking. As far as you're concerned, your closet, declutter it.
Yes.
And have it ventilated, and you're good to go.
Thank you for your call, Yana. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's such an easy answer. And last question only. What should I have some inspection for the mold? Where do I go? Or should I leave it for now?
No. You never leave mold. That's a no-no. What you want to do is the clothes that have mold is either get rid of them or wash them or clean them.
Clothes is good. going, but somebody to check the air, the quality of the air, if they are spores I'm breathing in. That's my concern.
Many companies you can call. I would call an air quality company that only do air quality testing.
I'm writing it down. Air quality.
Yeah, air quality testing. So, I mean, companies like Air Conseil,
Can you give me the name again, please?
You know what we'll do, Yana, just because there's another text message coming in. Maybe
I understand. Thank you. Put me on the over the phone, please. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Yana.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Mr. Walter. Thank you.
We have a question coming in on the text line about cement specifically. I'm going to be working with cement. At what temperature should I stop working with cement outdoors?
Typically, it's you can work with cement for a long time. The idea is what type of cement. So it's a bit of a. I mean, if you look at high rises, you see sometimes, or even if you look at road construction, you see them sometimes pouring concrete in the middle of the winter.
Yes, but we can't use our roads here in Montreal as a standard for anything.
But what I'm saying is a regular. Regular concrete. Any time, like for example, our cutoff line for concrete work would be around, end of October, beginning November.
Okay. We're looking at temperature. Below zero, we have to be concerned?
Well, when we start having frost below zero, this and that, that's when, it becomes kind of iffy. Usually I would say first week of November, second week of November is max where I would stop using.
Okay, keep those questions coming in, 514-790-0800. You can call us, you can text us, and Walter Ansi from Renovco has your answers. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, continues to take your questions, your home improvement questions, your concerns. 514-790-0800. That is the phone line or the text line to reach us. And now we have some questions coming in about an internal drainage system. Says Walter, I'm thinking of installing an internal drainage along the perimeter of the basement with a second pump to prevent water from getting into the basement. How foolproof is this?
I mean, it's a bit ironic because we are saying that we want to prevent water from coming into the basement, but we are actually bringing in water to the basement. So an internal French drain will allow the water to come in and then take it to a pump and then pump it out. So you're not really stopping the water from coming into your basement. You're just managing the water. Okay, that is coming in.
Is it a bad idea?
It's not a question of it's a bad idea. I always the common sense tells you stop water at the source. So if outside is the source, I would start with the outside. But I do understand that in a lot of cases, that is very cost prohibitive or complicated because you don't have proper access for excavators, because you have a lot of landscaping. So I get that. It is an efficient way when all the other options are exhausted. Yes, it is. It's doable. It's a thing. The other option, the other issue that I might have with it is, again, it's bringing the water in. So when you do a French drain from the outside, you're excavating all the way to the footing, you're pressure washing the foundation, you are putting an elastomeric membrane, you are putting a delta membrane.
I have memories of having French drains in some of our homes, and it's always, anytime you hear the word French drain, you can imagine there could be a million problems if it's not handled properly.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I mean, and you would have access to inject all of the internal drain. Now you don't have access to all of these things that you could do from the outside. Mm. So that's why I'm saying, look at both options and see what the cost.
If you
have minimal, the exterior is more expensive, but I've seen costs of internal drains that are also up there. So what I'm saying is, look at how much the difference is, and look at how much landscape, because there is kind of collateral damage in both. If you don't have a finished basement, it's fine. But when you have a finished basement, if you're doing an internal drain, you have to break everything. You have to break out the walls. You have to break the slab. You have to dig.
Oh, my goodness.
Dig around the perimeter and then re-pour the concrete. So it's not just, you know, putting pipes in. So that's another...
That's thousands of dollars.
If your basement is finished. If the basement is not finished, it's limited to breaking the slab around the perimeter and excavating there. It's still a big job, but it's not as big as excavating the outside. So there are, to answer you like quick, my preference is exterior, interior in cases of, you know, you have many restrictions, including budget and landscaping and so on and so forth.
Yeah, just that you just said the breaking the walls and the floors, but that's if it's finished.
If it's finished. I mean, after August 9th, unfortunately, a lot of basements are unfinished now. So there are ways to, you know, get things done at least, especially backwater valves.
Lemons into lemonade for that one.
Exactly.
If you're in the process of redoing your basement because of what happened, then.
Then you can look at
options. There's a follow-up question to the... We talked about winterizing cabins, getting them ready for the winter. What if you want to make your cabin four seasons? Where do you start?
I mean, there's all...
That's a big job.
It's a big job. It's all going to boil down to how it was built in the first place. So is it 2x4s, 2x3s? You know, the attic, is it? Can we insulate the attic because of the roof lines, how it was built? So there's a lot of questions that we would have to ask beforehand. Mm. It's doable.
But is it like at some point you're adding so much to a summer cabin that it's like maybe not worth it to start again?
Depending how initially the construction was done. So if it was constructed as just like a regular home without insulation, it's doable. You just have to insulate the attic, insulate the thing, insulate the exterior walls, get probably better quality windows, put heaters, and you know, and off you go. But if you are now...
like a summer cabin. You know the ones that are really were only used, you know, the thin walls and all that. Is that even worth it?
Look, it's worth it in the sense, I mean, we do have 2x4 homes here that are built in the 50s. And yeah, the insulation is not that great. You pay a lot of energy to heat it. But you could always urethane it, so it gives you a bit more R value than what you would have with fiberglass. There are ways. We just have to take it case by case. There are cases where we say, no, just raise the whole thing and rebuild it. There are cases where we say, no, there's something to be done here.
Yeah, because my sense is, I remember years ago, I knew someone who had a cottage, and this was like a real, like a summer cottage. And then every year, the family would just try to add more pieces, but it was never just right.
Yeah.
There was always a draft. There was always a something. It was like all this patchwork that led to nothing.
You're absolutely right. So if you're doing this, this has to be done as part of a master plan. So it's one thing that you do. You can't just do it and you can't piecemeal it and then... you're going to just throw money in the problem and probably you're not going to get the expected result out of it.
Two text messages here about air quality testing and air quality investigations, because you mentioned that you have to hire companies. Are there any, I know you don't like to name names, but what are we looking for when we're looking for this?
Air Conseil or Jess 4 or there's a lot of companies, InspecSol, there's a lot of companies that would do it. What I would tell people is to veer away from is any company that does the work and the air quality testing. Not that they're not going to be honest about it, but you want as much of an objective testing as possible.
Wait, say that again. So the air quality testing people have to be different than the, or should be different than the people doing the work.
Correct.
Okay.
Before you start. Now, when they do the work, if they want to do their own for knowing what kind of work they're doing, that's okay. But if you are, you know, trying to have some answers to certain questions, there are companies that are strictly doing that. That's what they do. They don't do the work. They don't, you know. They're very objective. They don't have skin in the game.
Last question before Jimmy plays this out, and this is quickly, somebody's asking for a friend of mine had an inspection done and there's asbestos in the ceiling of a bedroom home built in 1957, which was normal then. Should they be concerned
if it's in a solid state? No, but if it's in a solid state they have nothing to worry about.
And the only thing that moves it is like an event, like if a ceiling Correct. Falls or a flood or something in the
you're
construction.
You're installing pot lights, you're passing wires, doing some construction, water damage, something like that. Absolutely.
Jimmy's playing us out like the Oscars again. Okay, Walter Assi, president of Renovco. Go check out his website. Go check out all the great work he does. Thank you so much for all of your calls. I am back tomorrow for another edition of Weekends with Joanne Vrakas.